Cord took another call from Rosk then, and by the time she was finished, I was ready with more. Mind you, I'm not just whining about my own situation here. Everything's confused. This is the biggest upheaval since the third sack. So many weird things are going on. It almost makes a mockery of the discipline. But your way isn't just that set of rules, Cord said. It's who you are. You follow that way for bigger reasons. And as long as you stay true to that, the confusion you're talking about will sort itself out eventually. I would have been fine with that, except for one problem. It sounded like the mentality that Edharians were accused of having by people who believed in all of that lineage stuff that Kriskin had been telling us about. So an instinct told me to say nothing. Then Cord sprang the trap on me. And likewise, you could drive yourself crazy trying to sort through all of these ins and outs in your relationship with Ayla. But if you send her a letter, which is a great idea, you shouldn't get into all of that. Just skip it.
Skip it?
Yeah, just tell her how you feel.
I feel jerked around, that's how I feel.
You want me to say that?
No, no, no. Tell her how you feel about her.
My gaze dropped to her Jija, sitting on the seat between us, silent for once. Are you sure you haven't been taking calls from Tulia on that thing? Because I have the feeling you guys have your own private reticule, like the Ida. This would have been insulting if I had said it, but she thought it was hilarious. We both looked up the road at the back of Saman's head, silhouetted against his Jija screen.
That's right, Cord said.
We're the girl Ida, and if you don't do what we say, we're going to throw the book at you. Cord had a notebook that she used as a maintenance log for her fetch, so I used a blank page to begin a letter to Ayla. This went about as badly as it was possible for a written document to go. I tore it out and started again. I couldn't get used to the way the disposable poly pen shat pasty ink onto the slick machine-made paper. I tore it out and started yet again. I had to suspend work on the fourth draft because Ganeliel Crade had led us off the paved road and onto a dirt track better suited for his fetch than for Cord's. The lower south-facing slopes of the mountains were covered with fuel tree plantations and crisscrossed with dirt roads, such as this one, alive with rampaging log trucks, dusty and dangerous to us. We spent an unpleasant half hour getting through that zone. Then we climbed to where the growing season was too short and the grades too steep for that industry, or indeed for any kind of economic activity save recreation. He led us to a beautiful camping place at the edge of a tarn in the hills. People came here to hunt in the autumn, he said, but no one was here today. All of our equipment was new, and we had to take it out of boxes and dispose of the wrappers and tags and instruction manuals before we could do anything with it. We started a bonfire with these and sustained it with fallen dead timber. As the sun went down, this settled to a bed of coals on which we cooked cheeseburgs. Cord bedded down in her fetch, and the three men got ready to share a tent. I stayed up late and finished my letter to Ayla by firelight, which was a good way to do it. The seventh draft was short and simple. I just kept asking myself, if fate had it that we'd never see each other again, what would I need to say to her?